Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Art of Possibility: Transforming Professional and Personal Life by Rosamund Stone Zander and Benjamin Zander, is a leadership and personal development book built around a set of practices rather than a single theory. Drawing on Rosamund Zander's background in therapy and Benjamin Zander's career as a conductor, the book explores how people can move from a world defined by measurement, comparison, and limitation into a broader universe of possibility. Its purpose is not to offer abstract optimism, but to reframe everyday assumptions so readers can act with more creativity, generosity, and effectiveness. The book is especially known for its accessible style, combining anecdotes from music, education, and professional life with practical reframing exercises. It has become influential in leadership, coaching, and education because it emphasizes contribution over competition and influence over control. The result is a book about changing perspective in order to change behavior, relationships, and organizational culture. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the central idea that reality is shaped by the stories people tell themselves. A defining argument in the book is that much of what people treat as fixed reality is actually constructed through interpretation. The opening practice, "It's All Invented," makes this point directly. Assumptions, labels, and habitual narratives determine how situations feel and what options seem available. The value of this idea is not philosophical abstraction but practical leverage. If someone sees a setback as proof of inadequacy, the response is likely to be resignation or defensiveness. If the same event is viewed as information or a temporary condition, new action becomes possible. The Zanders use this reframing to show that many limits are self-maintained through language and perspective. This does not mean denying facts or pretending difficulties do not exist. Instead, it means recognizing that meaning is not identical to event. That distinction is the engine of the book. By revising the story, readers can revise their emotional and behavioral response, which then changes what can happen next. Secondly, moving from the world of measurement to the universe of possibility. One of the book's most original contrasts is between the world of measurement and the universe of possibility. The measurement world is organized around ranking, grades, status, and comparison, so people are constantly asking whether they are ahead, behind, successful, or failing. The authors argue that this mindset narrows attention and creates anxiety because it turns experience into a scorecard. In contrast, the universe of possibility is framed by openness, contribution, and creative engagement. In that space, value is not reduced to performance metrics, and people can participate more fully without being trapped by self-evaluation. This contrast gives the book its broader ethical and organizational dimension. It explains why the authors are skeptical of leadership models based only on control or evaluation, and why they place so much emphasis on creating conditions where people can think, collaborate, and take initiative. The point is not to abolish standards, but to stop confusing measurement with meaning. By naming this difference, the book helps readers see how deeply comparison shapes behavior and how much room opens when that habit is interrupted. Thirdly, giving an A as a method for releasing fear and expanding performance. The practice of giving an A is one of the book's best-known and most practical ideas. Benjamin Zander describes using the assignment of an A not as a reward for achievement, but as a device to free students from fear of failure. The underlying logic is that many people perform defensively when they believe their worth is being tested. If the grade is already granted in principle, attention shifts from self-protection to learning, imagination, and follow-through. This is one reason the practice is so widely discussed in education and leadership. It changes the emotional climate of a room. Rather than motivating through pressure, it creates trust and possibility. The method also extends beyond classrooms. People can apply the same principle by noticing where they withhold approval from themselves or others until perfection appears. Giving an A is not permissiveness, because it still asks for responsibility and meaningful effort. Its purpose is to separate identity from evaluation so that people can work with greater freedom. In the context of the book, this practice shows how a small shift in framing can alter confidence, collaboration, and performance at the same time. Fourthly, leadership is making others powerful rather than exercising control. The book offers a distinctive leadership model, especially through the idea of leading from any chair. Benjamin Zander's experience as a conductor becomes a metaphor for leadership that depends on enabling others rather than dominating them. A conductor does not create sound alone. The role is to draw the best from the ensemble so that the collective performance becomes larger than any individual contribution. This analogy matters because it challenges common assumptions about authority. In the book, leadership is not defined by position, charisma, or command, but by the ability to create conditions in which others can excel. That perspective has strong implications for managers, teachers, and team leaders because it shifts attention from personal control to shared capability. It also invites humility, since the leader's success depends on how much greatness is granted to other people. This is one reason the book has been influential in organizational settings. It offers a usable alternative to hierarchical leadership without becoming vague or sentimental. The model is concrete, relational, and rooted in practice. It asks leaders to measure success by the quality of participation they enable, not by the amount of obedience they obtain. Lastly, enrollment, contribution, and the collaborative ethic behind the book's practice-based philosophy. Another major thread in the book is enrollment, the idea that meaningful ideas should invite participation rather than seek compliance. Instead of persuading through pressure, the authors suggest presenting a vision in a way that allows others to enter it voluntarily. This matters because contribution, not self-advancement, is the deeper organizing principle of the book. Many of the practices are designed to move people away from defensive individualism and toward a more collaborative way of acting. The closing emphasis on a WE story reinforces this idea by showing that identity and achievement are often collective rather than purely personal. The book, therefore, links inner perspective with social behavior. When people stop focusing on status protection, they become more available to shared creativity, generosity, and service. This collaborative ethic is one reason the book resonates in both personal and professional contexts. It treats relationships, institutions, and communities as places where possibility is expanded through participation. The practices are not presented as rigid rules, but as habits of attention that help people contribute more fully. That practical orientation gives the book its durability. It offers a philosophy of action, not just encouragement. In conclusion, The Art of Possibility is best suited for readers who want a serious but accessible book about reframing assumptions in work, leadership, teaching, and relationships. It will be especially useful to managers, educators, coaches, performers, and readers who are interested in personal development that is grounded in specific practices rather than broad inspiration alone. The book's main benefit is that it turns abstract ideas about possibility into repeatable habits of thought, such as separating identity from evaluation, replacing scarcity thinking with contribution, and leading by empowering others. Intellectually, it stands out because it is not a standard self-help text and not a conventional business book either. Its unusual combination of psychotherapy, musical leadership, and practical philosophy gives it a distinctive voice and a broader range than many books in the genre. Instead of promising quick transformation, it shows how small shifts in framing can change the way people learn, collaborate, and lead. That makes it enduring. The book is less about motivation in the moment and more about building a lasting orientation toward possibility, humility, and shared creative action. If you would like to support Rosamund Stone Zander, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.